Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. After these messages, we'll be right back. Remember that?
I do remember that. It was claymation. We'll be
right back. What were the characters?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
There was the fire hydrant and the puppy.
Okay.
So that's how we're going to start this week's EPP bonus episode. There you go.
Okay.
Little piece of the 90s Saturday morning cartoons on ABC.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is on EPP 146 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Something tries to kill a family by turning on all the gas stove burners at once. Yeah, that could get the job done. Could a little boy that was captured in a 1927 photo be the little boy that's now an imaginary friend? A helpful spirit seems to keep a dark entity at bay in a listener's home. And a ghost at an abandoned asylum just wants to bum a smoke from two people eager to see something paranormal. Those stories and more today on EPP 146 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
I can tell how you're doing today, so I'm not even going to ask.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah, you must be feeling a lot better.
I am feeling it's a heck of a lot better than the last EPP episode that we did last week. I was watching, YouTube suggests videos to you, mm-hmm. and somehow it got into the place of suggesting the breaking news of Richard Nixon dying. ABC coverage circa 1994. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, it could be. I'll watch it because I like the network elements of it. Here's the logo. Here's the sting. Here's the anchor coming on here. And it's kind of, I don't know, because I'm a dork like that. and then it suggested I think it was like Richard Nixon on, I don't know why Nixon is popping up. It must be a popular term today or something.
Yeah.
Then it suggested him on an interview on 2020 when he was alive. Mm-hmm. And I clicked on that. And then I was just kind of scanning and like, oh, all the commercials are in here and all the bumpers mm-hmm. From that era. And so there was like an old Good Morning America promo with Charlie Gibson mm-hmm. and Joan London.
Okay.
And the old graphic and the old do-do-do-do, the GMA music and everything else. I'm like, oh gosh, what else was around that time? I'm like, oh, Saturday morning cartoons. After these messages, we'll be right back. So I Googled that, found that, and thought, I'm going to play that to start the show.
I miss Saturday morning cartoons.
They don't do that anymore for kids. Because
no.
They have like 24-hour networks. They can watch them whenever they feel like it.
But it was something to look forward to.
It was.
That's what I miss about it.
It's one of those things where the more you have of something, the less you appreciate it.
Yes.
And the less, because I look back on cartoons and shows that we watched, and I can only name probably five or six that really stand out to me that I really watched. Mm-hmm. Our kids. There's hundreds.
Yeah.
There's hundreds. And it's like it's a new one every week that they're a fan of. And I don't know that when they grow up, they're going to look back and go, I really liked this one show. or this was a show I watched for years. Mm-hmm. Like, I look back, I watched Muppet Babies for, you know, a good 5 years of my childhood every Saturday morning, at least 5 years.
Yeah.
And Garfield and Friends. And those are like two of my big ones. Mm-hmm. And it didn't change. It was, that was the process. I don't know.
I don't know.
And then this one week I watch this, and then this other week I watch that, and another week I watch that. It's, I don't know how that conversation is going to go.
No.
As they are adults. And I try to share with them some of the older shows, and I think, oh, maybe they'll really like this. I mean, and some they do. I mean, Harp likes Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. And she watches the reruns of that a bit. But again, it's just, you know, she needs something new every...
Sure.
Because there's just so darn much stuff. I don't know how you combat that without, like, just not having television.
No.
So, I've decided to take all the TVs out of the house.
Yeah.
So that answers that problem. 855-853-4802, excuse me, is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I'm going to start coughing. That'll be the next thing.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll be able to read all the stories, because I don't...
You're not a fan of that?
I don't like reading stories.
You don't like reading stories?
It's so much harder than you think it would be.
It is. It's easier when you wrote them yourself, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when the ones you read, like, you didn't find that difficult at all, like on those ones that you've done yourself?
No, the ones I've written?
Yeah.
I think it was one.
Because you know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different. It is sometimes. It is difficult, but we shall get through it. And I don't think I'm going to be coughing. So 855-853-4802. Our first story today comes into us from Jeremiah. He says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a new listener. Just began subscribing to your podcast 1 week ago. I have had numerous paranormal experiences, but I wanted to share a particular one that chilled me to the bones." Here it goes. "I was a college student in Evansville, Indiana, at the University of Southern Indiana. It was winter of 2012, if I recall correctly. I was at my grandmother's house. She had lived there in this house ever since she had been married at 17 years of age, and my father grew up there. It sits in a poor neighborhood on the south side of town and was built upon the original city dump. Additionally, it went through and survived the famous 1937 Ohio River flood. My grandfather was not the first owner of the home, and rumor has it that prior to my grandparents residing there, an elderly man had passed away and was found dead in this home. The home is very small, only has 6 rooms, including the kitchen and the bathroom. So enough about the history of it. That night was a Friday or Saturday because I was at the house very late. It was just me and my girlfriend there at the time. She's now my wife because my grandmother was at my aunt's residence just outside of town. I went there to do a load of laundry and had a key to my grandmother's house that she had given me to use for occasions just like this. It was my home away from home, I suppose. We arrived at her house around 9 p.m.-ish, put our laundry in the washer. Everything was going well, and my grandmother's animals were all calm and friendly as usual. We'd fallen asleep in my grandmother's love seat when suddenly something caught my attention and woke me up. I cannot recall if it was a noise or what it was, but it was around 10:30 or 11 by this time, and our clothes were in the dryer. I saw something in my grandmother's bedroom. My grandfather had passed away in that very same bedroom a few years prior to this, but he was not by any means a vengeful or a malevolent man. I don't believe that what I saw was him. What I did see was an extremely dark figure in an already dark and windowless room. It was illuminated only by the kitchen lights. The figure was silhouette-like in appearance and seemed dark, out of sight when it caught me looking at it. It would then appear in the doorway again to spy on us some more. I began freaking out and told my wife we need to leave immediately because I felt that something was very wrong. She agreed and we got our clothes together. Before we left the home, I walked over to the kitchen and walked to the sink to wash my hands. The sink was stationed literally right next to the gas stove. I did not smell any gas or leaking or turn on any burners. My grandmother's animals were either too small, cats and very small dog, or too old, elderly pit bull with health problems, to have jumped up and physically pushed in the gas stove knobs and turned them counterclockwise to let the gas leak out. I say this because I noticed nothing wrong when I left. Over the next day, my aunt and grandmother called me in a bit of a panic. They said that my grandmother returned about 2 a.m. in the morning, and my aunt came with her. Both are avid cigarette smokers, and when they walked in the door, my aunt had to quickly stop my grandmother from lighting a cigarette because the whole house was filled with toxic natural gas fumes. They said all but one of the oven knobs had been turned on, but not lit. So the fumes were just leaking out steadily. They aired out the entire house and everything was okay, but it was almost as if something was trying to kill my family members and frame me. My grandmother and aunt had initially thought that I had turned the oven on. I explained to them that I had not, but I was freaked out. Later that next week, I went back to the house with my wife while my grandmother was there, and we all watched a movie together. During the movie, I heard what can only be described as a demonic growl right behind me. I was the only person who heard it. Then, not but a minute later, my wife got very ill and quickly was sick to her stomach. I was freaked out yet again. The growl I heard could not have come from any of the pets, as all of them were accounted for either in another room or sitting on my grandmother's lap. It's worth noting that my aunt dabbles in witchcraft and the occult and has been keeping a supposedly haunted watcher mirror in my grandmother's other spare room, not the bedroom where I noticed the apparition. A watcher is apparently some supernatural being that uses this mirror as a portal to our mortal world, and they aren't necessarily evil, but they aren't benign either. At least that's what I was told about them. I still have no idea what exactly happened those 2 days, but as far as I'm concerned, a malevolent being was trying to scare me and injure the ones I love. I'll never forget the experience, and just thinking about it again is giving me anxiety. Thanks for listening to my story and letting me know what you think about these encounters. I do believe both the averted gas explosion and the demonic growling are related or produced by the same being. Regards, Jeremiah.
I think they're related too, and I think this is like what we've talked about before, where an accident could be, you know, explained by more than just an accident.
Sure.
Because had they gone home, not smelled the gas, and lit up, that whole house could have gone up with them in it. And it's really, it's interesting that it turned on almost all the burners, you know, to really get as much gas in that house as possible.
And the story just would have been, gas burners left on, house explodes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been unexplained. It was just, that's what it would have been.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to wonder sometimes, where you have tragedy. It's like, well, how often are paranormal things intertwined into tragedy, but just never really accounted for, because no one's going to account for it?
Yeah.
Unless you're like one of the people that know something. And even if you are the one to speak out about it, you're going to be like, oh, that's the crazy person who thinks a ghost did it. She just left the burners on. That's, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, that's creepy. I'm glad it all panned out and it was caught the way it was. But yeah, that could end very bad. Have you ever been around a house that explodes from natural gas?
No, I haven't.
It's exciting and horrible all at the same time. I wasn't living at my parents' house when one down the road blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Nor was anyone actually living in the house. Luckily, they were like away on vacation that weekend. But for whatever, and it wasn't because their gas stove was left on. I believe it was like a leak in the gas line or something.
Okay.
But it filled up the entire house. And essentially, something lit. I don't know if it was a pilot light for something mm-hmm. triggered it. And it literally blew up the house. I mean, it's like a bomb. It's like what about Bob?
Okay, you know? Sure.
It's that type of explosion.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you cannot be more or less dramatic about it. I mean, that is what it does,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it's built up that much. And I came to visit. I'd already moved away. I was visiting that weekend, and I think it happened like on the Thursday, and I got there on Saturday. And I walked down to the road just to go check out what happened, and it literally looked like a bomb went off in the house.
Sure.
And there was nothing left. There was no structure.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a foundation. Amazingly, what's so strange to me about this is you hear about these things happening, and it's not always the case by any means, but a lot of people survive those things.
Really?
I don't know how. I don't know what. They're just like blown out, you know, with the wreckage, and they land somewhere, and it's not like a real long, intense burn or anything, and it's more just, you know, mm-hmm. propulsion.
Sure.
But I've heard of that happening where people tend to survive that more than like just like being stuck in a house fire or smoke inhalation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how or why, but you look at those and you go, how the hell would anyone survive that?
Sure.
But something you obviously never want to have happen to you. It is quite dramatic, though, when you see just the foundation, because it literally looked like a bulldozer came and purposely knocked the house and cleaned up almost because it's so spread out the way it all goes. But yeah, my parents were like, yeah, there was a big bang down the road last night. Like, what happened? Oh, the house blew up.
Oh, geez.
Like, Jesus. So it's one of those things where if you ever have that, open the windows. Open the windows, ventilate it, get out, and make sure you call whoever you need to get that fixed, because that can be pretty bad. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Of course, you can write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. You guys are EPPs. You already know the drill. Our next story says, hey, guys, I discovered your podcast a few months back and have been listening every workday ever since. I'd like to share my experience that I've had. I suppose it's safe to say I have a relatively interesting, safe, and healthy childhood in terms of location. I grew up on a very large farm that had been owned by my family for over 100 years. For about 3 miles of road, every single house on this huge plot of land was owned by a member of my family. As we were deep in the country, all of us children kind of just ran free without worry from our parents because every single person within walking distance was of close relation. One house in particular had been sitting on the land since the beginning. I had many great aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. grow up in that old rundown house over the past 100 years and even a few deaths. My parents eventually built the house that I ended up growing up in directly in front of the creepy old place, and our back door was a mere 100 feet from the front porch of it. The place had always given me the creeps. It always felt as if somebody was watching you from its old, crooked windows. It had been empty in terms of living occupants for about 10 years, the last tenants being a great aunt and uncle that eventually moved. Old furniture remained inside, and my grandfather was just letting it return to nature, it seemed. When I was about 10 years old, my cousin and I decided that we were going to sleep in it one night to see if who would chicken out first. We had lanterns and sleeping bags and ended up settling in the dark, dusty living room next to the old fireplace. Everything was fine for about an hour. We shared scary stories and talked about things that a couple of 10-year-old kids talk about and then lay down for the night. Just listen. After about 15 minutes lying there in the dark, we both got an itchy, uncomfortable sensation all over our bodies. It was as if we were being very lightly tickled with a feather, almost from head to toe. We both freaked the hell out and left in a hurry. It was about 2 seconds from the front door of that old house to the back door of our new house, so we just went home and played Xbox until morning. Eventually, I chalked it up in my head to mites or some other weird bug that would probably reside in a rundown, old, uninhabited, abandoned house. Fast forward about 4 years, I'm around 14 years old, and at this point, I've had nightmares about the old place for years. In the dreams, it was as if I was seeing through the eyes of a lonely, sad person, moving about slowly from room to room in the house. Not ever looking for anything, not really having a physical body. There was never anybody else in the dream, aside from the occasions when the person I was seeing through the eyes of would walk to a window and look out. Where I would, then, I would either see me or my friends or family playing in the yard, my father mowing, my grandfather driving by in his tractor, or something of the sort. Sometimes it was dark, but that didn't change anything, the dream. The actions of the person remained the same, moving about from room to room silently, without a purpose, sad and lonely. Always at 14 years old, my mother decided that I was then old enough to babysit my little brother after I got off the school bus until she got home from work, usually around midnight. My little brother was about 2 or 3 at the time. It was around this time frame that he developed an imaginary friend whom he called John. According to my little brother, John was a little boy who had passed away in a fire. Gave me the creeps sitting in the living room in that house by myself, listening to my little brother in his room talking and carrying about a conversation with somebody that wasn't there, or playing as if it was in the middle of a sleepover with a friend. This went on for months and months until eventually he finally stopped talking about John. It is at this point in the story that we fast forward again to myself at 16 years old. I have a license. The way our driveway was set up at the time meant that when you are parked, your headlights are aimed directly at the old house. Its dark, ominous windows staring blankly right back at you. I pulled in one night after a date, and as my headlights swept across one of the far windows to the left in the living room before coming to a rest, aimed center mass at the house, I could have sworn I saw a child standing in the window. I quickly backed up and swept my headlights over the window again. Nothing. Well, now fast forward one last time to my current age of 29. My grandfather passed away a few months ago in the very same house that he built with his own two hands directly after returning home from World War II, and located about 250 meters from both the house I grew up in and the old rundown place that no longer exists. My grandfather leveled it about 10 years ago. As my family was cleaning out his house, my mother came across an old picture, circa 1927. In the photo, my great-grandparents sit center with my grandfather, around 6 years old at the time, sitting between them. Several of my great-aunts and uncles stand around them with their wives and husbands. The photo was taken directly in front of the old house that used to terrify me, and my mother's backyard to this day. We showed the picture to my grandmother, who was slipping in her old age. She has her days, but no matter the day, she can pull out names and dates from almost anything pre-1960. She quickly named every single person in the photo and named the eventual demise of many of them. There was, however, one problem. On the porch of the old house, directly behind the faces of my old long-gone family members, stood a little boy. My grandmother could not figure out who it was and said she had never seen him before. As you know, getting a picture taken in those days was no easy task. It took time. It was a big deal. People didn't just photobomb pictures the way they do these days. We cannot for the life of us figure out who it is. My brother doesn't remember his imaginary friend, but I'd almost bet money that if he could, he would call him John. I have sent copies of the pictures to your email, Tony. If you will, look over the shoulder of my great aunt and uncle to the left. You'll clearly see him glaring at the camera. I do ask that you not share this image online due to the fact that when I brought it up to my mother, she told me not to because according to her, this would upset my living aunts and uncles for whatever reason. Talk about it all you want, though. I'm happy to share this story, but the image will just be between myself, you, and your wonderful wife. It's at this point that I feel I need to stress that I come from a family that is no nonsense. My father was a police officer and for the most part very stern. We just never talked about such things. I do not know if I believe in the paranormal even today, and I have intentionally put myself in situations since then with no other, even remotely curious, experiences. When I was 19, I moved in with a friend into apartments built right on the edge of a graveyard. Graves literally 10 feet from our back window. The only thing in the apartment when we moved in was a beaded cross hanging from that very window. All that being said, nothing ever happened. Years later, I'd find myself in the Marine Corps on deployment to Afghanistan. In one unfortunate situation, a small child ended up dead in front of one of the posts that we had to stand guard all day, every day in shifts. Rumors quickly spread amongst the platoon that the aforementioned post was now haunted. We had to stand in front of it at night. Stories of whispers and the language that they used, movement. Every single time I stood that post at night, I would take with me a set of NVGs required and thermal scope off from the machine gun. Periodically, I would glance around the small post about the size of a large treehouse, built crudely of wood, with the thermals and NVGs, hoping to catch a glimpse of something out of this world. For months and months, I did this. Supernatural stories continue to stack up. For months and months, I saw nothing. Ever. I tell you all that there's to tell you on this. I'm not one of those people that immediately assumes this or that is because of ghosts or demons or this or that. I consider myself a logical person. All that said, I cannot explain the creepy picture. Or John.
I have a fondness for imaginary friends that are more than imaginary.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you it does have something to do with the little boy in the picture.
I would certainly agree with that. I think it's interesting when a child has an imaginary friend and there's like background info on the person, like how they died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a normal or common feature, I think, that most children have when they're talking about imaginary friends.
Yeah.
I think most of the time when you're talking about an imaginary friend, you're talking about, something you made up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did. I don't profess to have a ghost imaginary friend.
Sure.
But yours had a mission or a plight.
He had a plan. I wasn't privy to it,
mm-hmm.
but he had a plan.
I do have the picture pulled up right here. Would you like to see it?
No.
It's rather odd because it's a photo of all this family on this porch, and then there's suddenly this little child, and he's almost out of perspective with the rest of the people and the size of their faces, and it doesn't necessarily make sense as to why he's so much smaller. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the face. He has the cap on.
Really?
Yeah. And it's odd. It doesn't look superimposed. It looks like this is just like part of the picture. It's very bizarre. There's almost like an element of translucentness to him. I can't really prove that because I can't technically see through him, but he kind of blends in almost to the background. But he's not to scale with the rest of the people. He'd almost have to be standing back further from the house with the way this picture is taken for him to be of the scale that he's showing up on this picture, or just be a dramatically smaller person. Mm-hmm. Or child, like something physically not right with. Okay. Let's take a look.
All right.
Come take a look. Here, I'll turn this around. So here's the picture. And then there's the child. You see what I mean? Where he's out of proportion to the rest of the picture.
He's further back. He's closer to the house.
Well, yeah, but he almost seems like he'd have to be further back than he is to be of that proportion.
No, I think he's standing on something and he's further back. Can you zoom in on him? He's got a smirk.
My argument is that I think if the house wasn't there, he could be further back. I almost feel like the proportion that he's showing up on the picture is too small.
Mm-hmm. That's how Jack dressed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it Jack?
I don't think so.
No. It's just there.
Yeah.
I wish we could share this photo because it's really cool and creepy.
It is, but they
have to. I'll respect it. But yeah, that is that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Thank you for sharing that story and that photo with us. It's a good one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Kaylee writes in. My name is Kaylee. I live in South Dakota. I'd like to start off by saying I love the show. I'm also an EPP. My story takes place in Iowa, where I'm from, and spawned over the course of 13 years. Apologies in advance of the length, and we'll try to keep it to the point. Right on with the story. My family and I had moved into a three-bedroom duplex in a small-ish town. It was a basic layout in a hallway. I went to my bedroom, then across was a bathroom. Next to my room was my brother's, and across from his was my parents. Every time you went down this hallway, you were just hit with intense energy, especially at the end. My parents' room was even more so, and I hated going in there, just a feeling of dread once you stepped foot in there. My brother's room was almost equally as creepy, however, never really felt much in my room. Fast forward over a few years, and during this time, I would see things walk past the mirror while I'd be getting ready for school. Toys would randomly go off in my brother's room. One time, even after I took the batteries out because I was tired of being woke up by it, and the bathroom started taking on that creepy, intense energy I described. Just a constant feeling of being watched. It was extremely unnerving. At the time, the only strange things that occurred in my room would be while I was sleeping. I often experienced sleep paralysis. I think I was awake and looking at everything in my room as though it would be, but I couldn't move. These states were also accompanied with either just feeling something staring at me from the middle of the room or skeletons trying to get in my window. More often than not, it was just feeling something staring at me while not being able to move or call out. Fast forward a few more years, and all those things are still happening. As stated previously, I am now a sophomore in high school. One night, my parents had gone out on a date, and my brother was off staying at a friend's house. I was completely alone in the house and was on the phone in the living room with my friend, who has also had tons of paranormal experiences. Typical teenage girl conversation, laughing away, when suddenly I go quiet and can feel something staring at me from the chair directly across from me. I honestly felt like whatever it was could have burned holes right through my body. That's how intense the feeling was. My friend asked, "What's wrong?" All I could say was something's here. She knew about my house and has felt the same things, and she told me to say this prayer to get it to go away. I said, I can't. Something bad will happen. She kept trying to get me to say the prayer, but I could not bring myself to do it. I didn't even want to speak. I was basically frozen in fear and couldn't take my eyes off that damn chair. After a couple of minutes and the feeling went away, I tried watching a funny movie to help calm me down, and after a few more years, my parents split up and I became pregnant. My boyfriend at the time and I just took over the house rent from them because they had both started living with their new significant others. Now, that probably sounds stupid, but nothing bad had really happened and hadn't harmed any of us. It was just a feeling of being watched all the time. Anyway, we moved in the master bedroom while our daughter stayed in my brother's old room. He was away at boot camp. At this time, those feelings had pretty much vanished from those two rooms, but had took up hold in my old room. The door remained closed until the day we moved out. I refused to go in there for any reason, unless someone else was in the house with me at night. Just walking by it sent shivers down your spine. Even my dad, who was a firm non-believer, wanted nothing to do with going into that room. Seeing stuff pass by in the mirror in the bathroom while getting ready was still an everyday occurrence, and there was no being in there longer than absolutely necessary. One night, my daughter had come to me while I was brushing my teeth in the bathroom, and she points just outside the doorway of the bathroom while looking up and says, Mom, who's he? I asked, who's who? And she just smiled and went back into her room. Finally, moving time, my boyfriend and I had found a really great place and moved out. During this process, my mom had come over and we started talking about experiences in the place. That's when she told me that while I was in high school, she had called these psychics in to investigate. They said there was a big black cloud of negative energy in my parents' room coming from the closet. Then they went into my brother's room, and as soon as one of the psychics walked in, she was pushed onto the bed. She also said that there was an older woman that stayed in my room, and she protected me and tried to keep the bad spirits or energy out of my room. My mom says that the psychic described my great-grandmother, but the description of older women, short dark hair, and other generic details could describe a lot of people. Regardless of who the woman was, she seemed to keep the dark shit in check throughout the house. So for that, I'm thankful. Anyway, I'm 27 now and haven't really had much of else for experiences, which I'm also thankful for. Thanks for reading this, and have a great day.
I think that's probably the only time I would be okay with a ghost is if I knew it was there protecting from something else that was going on.
Yeah. Where it's like, what, you know, what's a good example? Rat snakes.
Yeah, that's a very good example.
Like, I really don't like snakes, even them, but in some areas, it's kind of a necessary thing because it keeps some of the bad things away that could actually harm you.
Yes.
So there you go. It's like the rat snakes of ghosts.
I'm more tolerant of the rat snakes.
I am too. I feel bad when they've been in situations where there's not much you can do to help them.
Yeah.
You know, but with just out in nature and they're good, I'm cool with that.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
Snakes
are bad.
Shoot and ask questions later.
No. It's like, okay, let's try and usher this one away over here. And, you know.
Let's get him in the woods.
Yeah, and he'll be fine. But, yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Alan writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Alan from sunny old London, England. It's my first time writing in. I'm a proud EPP and have been one for a while. Love the show and will always continue listening to the podcast throughout my work days. This story is one of many, and if you like, I can write in many my other ones. This story starts off with a little back history. I'm sorry for this if it's long, but it all relates to the story. It starts in 2014. I was staying over at my, at the time, girlfriend's, who lived in Eastbourne, East Sussex. I've always been into the paranormal and anything unexplained. Anyway, at the time, my girlfriend managed to overhear me in a conversation about the paranormal and decided to tell me about this asylum, which was abandoned and had been for a long time, and that it was really haunted. Obviously, I jumped to the chance to go to this asylum and demanded that we go and visit. The asylum is called Hellingley Mental Asylum, which was built in the 1800s and was used for living quarters for people with mental health problems. The drive was about 20 minutes from my ex's house, so it wasn't too long. I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, I may actually finally see something paranormal. Be careful what you wish for. When we reached the area of Hellingley, there was a long and lonely road which led to the asylum. It was a nice, warm, sunny evening with not a cloud in sight. As soon as we turned into the long stretch of road leading to the asylum, I felt as if my head was not on my shoulders anymore. It was such a weird feeling, and I couldn't explain it. I brushed it off, not thinking anything of it. Then, as I could see the asylum in the distance, the windows of the car started to steam up. Once again, I ignored it, as it could have easily have just been a little cold. We parked, and my mood went from, I cannot wait to see and explore this asylum, to, I don't feel welcome here. We need to go. I couldn't explain why I felt that way. It was like the world was watching me. My ex didn't feel a thing and was more excited to explore now than me. I decided to step out of the car and let my ex smoke a cigarette before we began our adventure. We stood by a large wooden plank fence with little to no gaps through the other side. Just wanted to remind everyone listening that no one was there apart from us, and this place had been abandoned for years, and it was very quiet. We couldn't see anybody anywhere in the scenery. Back to my story, my ex lit up a cigarette and we started planning what building to look into first. When we heard a faint, manly voice on the other side of the fence that we were standing next to ask, "Hi, can I have one of those?" My ex decided for us that the voice wanted a cigarette. We couldn't really see the other side of the fence, so we just thought it may have been security patrolling the remains. She replied with, "Yeah, sure, here you go." She passed a cigarette through the fence and it was taken from her hand. We carried on talking. About 10 to 15 seconds passed since the voice asked for the cigarette when I noticed something rolling to my ex's feet. It came from the bottom of the fence. It was a cigarette that she had passed through. I looked at my ex and asked, did she just drop her cigarette? She replied, "No." And it was in her mouth, and her box was in her bag. I was confused. So I jumped and started to climb the top of the fence to look over, and no one was there. Nothing. It was all overgrown weeds and bushes, and it would have been near impossible for people to be in there, as the bushes and weeds would have made a load of noise. Was it paranormal? I don't know. It was very weird and couldn't really be explained. I know I heard a voice ask my ex, because my ex replied. Still puzzles me to this day. I have a few more stories about the same asylum. If you'd like, I could send them in as well. Tony, you are a legend. Please never change. Jenny, you are always so calm. Never change, guys. You're proud EPP, Alan, from London, England.
I wonder if the ghost wanted a cigarette, tried to smoke it, realized that wasn't going to happen, and then just kind of tossed it back.
I don't know. Tried to grab it, and then like the whatever strength or energy that you could have to hold it just kind of dissipated, and there it went.
Either way, there was a voice asking for a cigarette.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
I don't know
it.
How you explain that. That's a good one. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Janine writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Janine from Louisiana. Congratulations on your new podcast, being a proud EPP. I appreciate the sneak preview. I have a ton of dreams that I'd love to hear your interpretation of, but finding the time to just sit down and sort them out is tricky. This story takes place in July before Hurricane Katrina in August of 2005. I went to a yoga meditation retreat in St. Joseph Abbey and Seminary College in Covington, Louisiana, which is on the north shore of New Orleans. Most who attend this retreat were sensitive. We could book the Abbey that weekend because the resident Benedictine monks were themselves away at retreat. As I drove across a small one-lane wooden bridge through a wooded area to the grounds, I felt far removed from the outside world. When I parked my car, I noticed a cemetery ahead with a massive live oak tree at the center and a small lake to the right. I was shown to my dormitory, which basically was a tiny bathroom, cot, and desk. After check-in, we had time to explore the grounds, which included the impressive Romanesque Abbey, the Christian Life Center, where we were staying, old stables, and dilapidated, unused cottages. I was drawn to the cemetery where monks throughout the years were buried. It turns out that the cypress coffins that they're buried in are crafted on site. In the center was a beautiful live oak tree with Spanish moss hanging from it. As I stood under the tree, awed by the massive heft of the canopy, I could literally see the faint glow around that trunk. I thought I was seeing things, but then I felt a cool breeze on my right shoulder. I thought that was strange. It was July in Louisiana, and there's no such thing as a cool breeze. Also, nothing else was moving to show a breeze. I felt the hairs on my neck raise and my heart beat faster. I hurried back to the group, participated in the evening sessions, and then it was time for bed. As I prepared for bed, I noticed that my air conditioning unit wasn't working very well. I kept turning off, made a loud humming noise, or did not blow any cool air. I did not want to open the window because it would have become really humid and hot very quickly in the room. I lay in the covers and tried to fall asleep. I did eventually fall asleep, but was awoken because of coldness in the room. Put my hand on the unit. It was not the source of the cold air. The room became colder and colder. I slid under the blankets, but it was still cold. I turned the tiny bedside light on and got up to dig in the tiny closet for the extra blanket. And that's when I heard the name being called next to my right ear. Janine. I jumped. I found a blanket and quickly hopped back into bed. I kept the bedside light on and dove under the covers, covering my head. Janine. The voice called again. I could feel my heart race. Again, the voice said my name, and I cried out from under the covers. I can hear you, but I don't want to see you. Please leave me alone so I can sleep. I did not hear the name being called again, but at that point, I couldn't sleep. And as I'm writing this, I'm wondering if there is any significance in the name being called three times. What I did hear from under the covers through the night, I was not about to look, were various sounds in a tiny dorm, a faint rustling like turning of pages of a book. There was a Bible in the room, a small scrape of the chair at the desk, sound of tapping on metal, and even the sound of a throat clearing. Felt like someone was just sitting there, keeping themselves occupied, waiting. The cold finally dissipated, but I never went to sleep, even though I started getting really hot. I started getting very, very hot. I didn't even look from under the covers until it was morning. Tony and Jenny, what do you think it was? Was it an intelligent spirit who respected my wishes but went about in usual activities so not to disturb? Or was it something else, like a cat and mouse or a game of chicken? That morning, feeling groggy and disoriented, I made my way to the cafeteria for breakfast, and as I turned right, passing the library, I noticed a monk walking in front of me wearing a long black cassock. Is that right?
I don't know.
A rosary swinging. I literally thought all the monks are away at retreat this weekend and aren't supposed to be in the grounds. As I thought that, the monk, instead of walking to the left towards cafeteria, walked straight through the wall. I walked to the cafeteria and tried to tell my table mates what had just happened and what happened throughout the night. I was surprised that it wasn't even surprising to them, but I was with a bunch of sensitive individuals. One said, "Oh, you must have seen Father Tom. He walks to the grounds a bit. Please pass the salt." I'm not sure the two events are related. I'd love to hear what you both think. Love you all. And thanks for always being a breath of fresh air, humor, and strangely enough, sanity. Keep it haunted.
I think that it's an intelligent spirit that was just trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of respected her wishes when she said she didn't want to see it and it stopped asking her. Mm-hmm. But it probably was confined to that space.
I think so. I think it was, it's hard to know if it was just respecting her, if it even knew she was even there.
Well, I think it did. It was calling her name.
That's true.
So I think it was just trying to get attention any way it can. And they're able to figure things out like names and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe that's what it was. But I don't know that it was the same spirit that was walking down the hall. It could have been a separate one.
I just think it's probably a very, very haunted area.
Could be.
Lots of things going on in one place. Thank you for sharing that with us. Stacy says, "Hey there, Brewskis. My name's Stacy, and I live and work in Salt Lake City, Utah. I have a little story to tell you about something that happened last autumn. But first, I must say that you'll never convince anyone in my family that ghosts do not exist. We've had far too many experiences with them. I have stories from early childhood and on up to the present day. I won't tell you how many years that is. My aunt is a sensitive and can explain certain aspects of the story to me when I told it to her. I'm not a sensitive, more just an empath who feels and hears, but only sees things here and there. I mostly see spirits of animals and deceased pets. I work in a very busy building. Our USPS facility is open 24/7, 365. There are several hundred of us in this building at any given time. I recently learned that several of my coworkers listen to you, and I encourage them to write in their own stories about our workplace. You see, while the building is constantly buzzing with human activity, it's also very busy with the non-human activity as well. Activity seems especially centered around a certain restroom, but my story is not in that restroom. I'll leave that area to my coworkers. My story begins with an after-work conversation I had with a coworker about a history podcast we both listened to. We were talking about some of the truly evil and depraved figures in history. We ended our chat with a shudder, and she went back to work, and I went out to my car. And that's when things happened. I get off work at dark, but our parking lot is well lit. Got in my car and turned on the engine. I suddenly had the very strong feeling that there was something or someone in my back seat. I looked in the rearview mirror. I could not see my back seat. Now, one might argue that it was night, but I still always see my back seat, even just in silhouette. But something was blocking my view of the back seat. So I turned around. It's like there was a black wall or very dense cloud filling the seat behind me. The feeling of darkness was overwhelming. I knew whatever it was did not have good intentions. It was evil. I had the very strong impression that I needed to drive and do not stop. Like I needed to outrun it or something. The road outside our building is as freaky as it is. I didn't need any encouragement to drive at a fast pace. I also had a strong impression to play some hymns, so I pulled up my phone and as I was driving, called at my music library. Took a few minutes, and during that time, I turned into a busy highway, luckily without having to stop. That thing was still in my backseat. It was like I could reach out and touch it with my elbow. I finally found my hymns. The second the music started playing through the speakers, the entity disappeared. I'm a firm believer in the power of music we listen to, and the belief was strengthened that night. The blackness was gone. I was alone in the car. I could see my back seat once again. When I told my sensitive aunt about the experience, she said that the conversation I had with my coworker had started it all. She said that we were talking about evil people and that this entity had heard us and interpreted that interest as an invitation. It followed me to my car in an attempt to attach itself to me. She said that if I had stopped, the entity would have known that I knew it was there. If I had stopped, it would have been confrontational. She confirmed that it was indeed an entity and not just energy. Even now, I shudder just thinking about it. I love your podcast. Also like to listen to your new dream podcast. Can you give me some information about that? I have very interesting, vivid dreams and enjoy hearing about others. Thank you.
I think that's interesting that it just completely took over the back seat to where she couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. It's like almost like a giant shadow person, like a shadow blob.
It just overwhelms.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what you hear so often, where it's like it's darker than dark and you can't, it's like a wall, mm-hmm. essentially. Very, very creepy. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that's the first time we've heard someone turn on hymns to alleviate the dark.
Whatever works.
Energy. If it works, it works. That's right. Information on that dream podcast, still working on it. It's still very much in the going to happen phase. It's just a matter of getting those episodes together and from there creating it and getting it launched. Two episodes are already out. You can hear them at ghostpodcast.com. If you would like to submit a dream story to that, you can do so through that website, which is dreamingradio.com, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G radio.com. There's also a phone number on that website as well if you want to call in your dream story. So feel free to do that there. And there you go. That wraps up today's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
146.
There you go. Thanks for being EPP, supporting the show, and keeping us on the air. We cannot do this thing without you. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for being an EPP of Real Ghost Stories Online.